Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. Coaches being fired around the NFL. And to talk more about that and what's next for the Titans and the playoffs, we bring in John McClain down in Houston. John, what's up? How you doing?
I couldn't be better, guys. How are you? It's going to be an interesting offseason for the Titans and with the draft and having more money to spend than any team in the league and free agency. And I think Amy Adams Strunk did the right thing with Mike Bergonzi, because I've heard nothing but good things from him behind the scenes. And I checked with people I know in Kansas City recently to see what they thought. So I think things are going to be looking up. The Titans could be vastly improved if they get the right coach.
So Joe and I were talking about that earlier, and I kind of made the comment that if there was somebody she would listen to that wasn't directly inside the organization, so I'm not talking Bergonzi or Brinker or Kenneth or, you know, anybody that's in the organization currently, who would she listen to that maybe got to her that said, Amy, I think you need to look at the front office. I think you need to go back to a more of a traditional structure. Who do you think that person would be, or persons?
Well, first of all, I doubt seriously she spent time worried about talking to other people in other organizations. That's not what she does. I'm guessing that people in the organization are the ones that realized and made her realize that Bergonzi, as the general manager, should be over the roster. You give people responsibility as an owner. You stay out of it. If they do their job, you give them extensions and more money. If they don't, you fire them. You have to give them time. And she's removed herself more. And she wants to let those guys run things. And I think it's a good move. And it caught me by surprise. But I think it was the right thing to do, and I'm fired up to see what the Titans do this offseason.
Well, we think it's going to be Matt Nagy. I think that's who is going to get the job ultimately. Now, with Stefanski available, who knows about Harbaugh? You know, I know Steelers made the playoffs. Who knows about Tomlin? That's all great. I think with the Kansas City connection, that's who it's going to be, but we'll see. And we'll see what the staff looks like. Because everybody tells me they think he'd be good the second time around, but it all depends on who he has as his assistants.
I tell you what, I would not hire Matt Nagy without interviewing some other people like Kevin Stefanski. If indeed Stefanski would do it, he may get hired really quick. People are talking about him going to the Giants. People that I've been friends with for years who covered the Browns really liked him, and they're happy for him. You know, they say, you know, he's got a new lease on life. He's got a two-time coach of the year. He didn't make the Deshaun Watson trades, which set back that organization. So really, it's going to be good for him. He's going to have multiple offers. He could always do like Vrabel did. Vrabel called Stefanski last year and said, hey, can I come spend the season with you? Stefanski said, sure. You think if he called Vrabel, said, can I come spend the season with you? Mike would say, sure. But I think Stefanski, with so many openings, that if he wants to coach, he'll get a job real quick. And I can't wait to see those others. I am just blown away that there's still people out there that talk about Matt LaFleur because he and Brian Gutekunst, the GM at Green Bay, have not been extended beyond next year by the new president Ed Policy. And if Matt LaFleur was available, everybody would want to hire him because he's done a really good job. And but there's always a surprise. You know, we got six now. There's going to be another couple. Could be end up with eight of them. And if your head guy wants to be head coach, this is time to do it. Obviously, Nagy wants to come back and get a second chance like he had in Chicago. And he knows from being in Chicago, where I believe Vic Fangio was his defensive coordinator. Vic's one of the all-time great coordinators in Philadelphia now, how important it is for an offensive coach to get a great defensive coordinator.
I wanted to ask you, because our producer, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, brought this up. Clint Kubiak, is he ready to be a head coach in your mind? I know you know the Kubiaks quite well.
Well, I'd say this about Clint. He's been brought up to coach in the NFL, just like his brother, Clay, who's the 49ers offensive coordinator. The difference is Clint has been wise to go for jobs where the head coach was a defensive head coach. And so he calls plays. Clay, who was a high school coach here, when Kyle Shanahan called him and said, hey, you want to come work for us? And he's like, whoa, I just started as a high school coach here. And so he went out there, started from the bottom, worked his way up. But everybody knows Shanahan calls the plays. So I think Clint, who's old, is older, the oldest, is more inclined to be a head coach. He's been a quarterback coach. He's been a coordinator. He's worked with his dad. He's worked for his dad. And last year in New Orleans, their first two games, they scored more than 40 points and blew people out. And then they had massive injuries and didn't do squat and ended up changing coaches, of course. And Clint had multiple offers, and he was smart to go with Mike McDonald, who's a defensive-oriented coach, knowing he could call plays. And he's done a really good job up there. I don't think he's going to jump at the first one. What I wonder about the Titans, they hired a coach, a coordinator who hadn't called plays, and it turned out to be a disaster. Now they have one who is, and Clint's worked with a lot of quarterbacks. And in fact, he and Stefanski and Gary Kubiak were all on Mike Zimmer's staff in Minnesota on the offensive side. Stefanski was the play caller. Kubiak worked with him, had been brought in kind of as an advisor. Clint was there working under Stefanski. So I'm partial to him, so I'd say yes, he's ready. But I don't know, since Bergonzi worked with Matt Nagy and Andy Reid likes him so much, that he would hire a guy like Clint, who's never been a head coach, over a guy like Matt, who has. And some of those coaches do a better job the second time around if, as you mentioned, they got to get the right staff.
That's part of it. We're talking the great John McClain on the Chase and McJoe Show. John, before we get more of this head coaching search, I love talking about football. Your thoughts on last night's Steelers-Ravens game, because it's one of the best games I've ever seen.
That rivalry is the most physical in the NFL. It reminded me of the old Steeler Oilers rivalry from the AFC Central in the 70s and the 80s. And Chris Boswell, who's from Rice and had a cup of coffee with the Texans, seeing him miss that extra point, I felt terrible for him. And then the kid from Baltimore missed his, felt terrible for him.
Right.
But from a historical perspective, I wanted to see Houston and Pittsburgh. And a lot of people here will say, oh, the Oilers are gone. Nobody cares about that. Well, there are a lot of people here who remember the Oilers and the Steelers in the 70s.
Sure.
When Pittsburgh won 4 of 6 Super Bowls. And a lot of the times they're in the same division, and the Oilers were considered the second best team in the NFL. And they lost 2 games in a row, AFC championship games, after the 78 and 79 seasons. And those were great games. Franco Harris told me one time when I was in Canton that their best rivalry was not the Raiders, like a lot of people thought, but it was the Oilers, because it was physical, but they respected each other. And I remember one time after a game in Three Rivers, it was the 78 AFC championship game. Steelers blew them out, and some fan grabbed Bum Phillips's cowboy hat.
Oh.
And Jack Lambert went and ran him down. Can't remember if he beat the hell out of him or not. He got Bum's, he got Bum's hat back.
Right.
And the next year, after they Steelers won in the controversial play with Dan Pastrini's touchdown pass to Mike Renfro that wasn't allowed, that really led to instant replay, somebody stole his hat. They couldn't get it back. Bum got like 400 hats from Pittsburgh fans sent to him at his office here. People would send a hat and say, Bum Phillips, Houston Oilers, Houston, Texas, no address. And they got to him, and I think he gave away all of them. But they, and another one in 70, I think, five, the Steelers were going to miss the playoffs. And the Oilers had to beat the Bengals. And if the Oilers beat the Bengals, the Steelers got in. Oilers upset the Bengals here. Steelers got in, won a Super Bowl. And after the season, every person in the organization got a really nice briefcase from the Steelers made out of what a football is made out of. And it was a very cool gift. So it was a great rivalry, a lot of respect. Don't know how much of attention it'll get today since the Oilers are in Nashville.
Right.
But for a lot of us fans, we will never forget the Houston and Pittsburgh rivalry.
And I love that story. John, real quick before the break, the Giants, Titans, Falcons, Cardinals, Browns, and the
Raiders.
Raiders job are open. Of those six, what's the best job?
Now, if you listen to the media, they'll say it's the Giants. I don't buy it. When I think of what happened, Falcons won their last four games. I was surprised Raheem Morris got fired. And they've got skill position players, Bijan Robinson, Drake London. Pitts had his best season. James Pierce had led the all rookies in sacks, I think. And they're in a bad position, and they play indoors in a good city. So I'm saying the Falcons, and I'm stunned that the Jets, as absolutely pathetic as they have been, they're going to let Aaron Glenn come back.
John McClain is with us. We'll have more with him coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday, continuing with John McClain down in Houston. John, so the rumor that I've seen for the Raiders, Brian Flores is the head coach and Daboll is the offensive coordinator. On paper, I don't hate that for them.
Well, as someone who kept up with Brian Flores at Miami, and I remember Armando Salguero wrote a column, he's covered the Dolphins forever, after he was fired, said he needs to learn better people skills. And then Flores came out after Tua Tagovailoa just tore him up and admitted he needed to learn how to deal with people better. And he's done a great job as a defensive coordinator for Minnesota. His contract's up. I'm sure he'd have a lot of offers to be a defensive coordinator. He'd be a guy like Matt Nagy gets hired, an offensive coach gets hired. That's somebody they should consider because he's been tremendous. But, boy, whoever it is has got to have somebody who can coach a quarterback. And if it's Daboll, fine. But, boy, when I saw that, it didn't float my boat. But Brady, and I'll say this about Brady. When he brought his soccer team in England, in Birmingham, Birmingham's the way they pronounce it, he hired a guy, Wayne Rooney, one of the all-time great soccer players in the Premier League, fired him after 1 year. Rooney threw a fit. Well, then they hired somebody else, and all of a sudden they were winners. So maybe they screwed it up with Pete Carroll. Maybe they'll get this one right. They totally mishandled the way they did Pete Carroll, made him take coaches. He didn't get the one he wants. They let him hire two of his sons, which is ridiculous. And so they can't afford another mistake. Did you guys see where Mark Davis is paying $50 million to former coaches? $50
million. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I saw that Gruden tweeted out the Raiders flag last night, too, which kind of made me laugh.
Well, you know Gruden would like to get back in. I don't think he will, but it would be a great story if he did. But everybody says there's a shortage of offensive coordinators. There's not a Ben Johnson or a Liam Cohen. Now, people say that. They don't know that. There's guys out there that are going to end up being really good head coaches. They just haven't figured out who they are. But there are some popular defensive coaches. But, boy, you've got to get the guy right. And Mike Bagonzi's going to hire Matt Nagy because he knows him and because he thinks he'll do a really good job. He better be right.
Along those lines, is this the year, though, that the retread could have the advantage because of what you just said of people looking of – maybe there's – and look, the coordinators are going to get interviews, and they should, and Joe Brady might get a job, and I'm sure there will be one or two, but that maybe they go through it this cycle, they're not quite ready, and then it's next cycle. So could this be the year for McCarthy, Nagy, the guys that, you know, have recently been fired?
That's a great point, Chase, but usually you don't get three times like Mike McCarthy, but McCarthy won 12 games three times with the Cowboys.
And he has a ring.
He's got the ring, but also he didn't have control. We all know who has control. And if you can win 12 games three times with the Cowboys, I would certainly interview him. Now, Brinker worked with him. He knows him. And McCarthy is very well respected, he was an offensive coach. I would seriously consider him. When you have a young team, and it's obvious they're going to have a young team, even though they'll probably have a lot of veterans because of all that money they could have to spend, I would definitely consider a former head coach like Nagy or McCarthy.
Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, Cincinnati's going to keep their coach. Any other coaches you could see, maybe, you know, the Mike McDaniel in Miami, we don't know what's happening there, but anything on your mind like, I think that's going to happen or not, that you see coming in the next, say, 48 hours?
Well, as I said before we went on the break, Joe, based on how utterly pathetic the Jets have been in Aaron Glenn's first season, I'm stunned they're going to bring him back. And people are saying, well, remember what happened with Dan Campbell. Yeah, Dan Campbell had a bad first season, but not as bad as the Jets. My God, they were just awful.
Right.
And as the season went on, they were worse. Their last five games, I think they lost by an average of 23 points a game.
Gosh.
That sounds like guys just quit, and that's not a good sign, of course. And then Mike McDaniel depends on who the GM coming in is. Are they going to hire somebody from the 49ers? Kyle Shanahan's lost so many GMs from personnel positions. Who knows McDaniel? You shouldn't be hiring somebody because he knows McDaniel. You better get the right person. And if they keep McDaniel and the new GM fires him this time next year, then they're going to be starting over. So I want to see how that's going to play out. They haven't announced he's going to be back. And if Aaron Glenn lasts a couple of weeks, okay, he's back. But, man, yeah, that organization has got to be doing a deep dive on what exactly happened. And because they were an embarrassment to the NFL, and it's a joke out there. It sounds like a joke, but it shouldn't be. That Dante Moore of Oregon, before he decides to come out, and he probably should stay at Oregon, to find out, is he going to be the first pick or the second pick, because he wants to avoid the Jets. And I don't blame anybody that wants to avoid the Jets, and that is a terrible thing to say.
Yeah, Brady's already come out and told everybody how much he loves Mendoza and winning in Indiana, so I think we know who the Raiders are going to take there. John, the Jaguars beat the Titans yesterday. I don't think we realize, and you saw them play, this is a really good football team, aren't they?
It is right now a great football team that is an offensive machine, and it doesn't matter if they're playing the Titans or a playoff team. They have, since the Texans beat them in the fourth quarter with that great comeback behind Davis Mills that jump-started the Texans' nine-game winning streak, they've won eight in a row, and they have been fantastic on offense, good enough on defense. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they beat Buffalo, but also wouldn't surprise me if Josh Allen had a great game and they won in Jacksonville. That's the game I am most intrigued about. Other, of course, the Texans and the Steelers, of course. But right now, Jacksonville is the best offensive team in the NFL, and that includes the Rams. That includes the Patriots.
John, if the Bills lose, is this closing that window for them? Because I mean, like, they're always there, but they lose this game. Is that window out or shut?
I don't think there's such a thing as that if the GM knows what he's doing. You got Josh Allen. He's under contract. He has some good young players. They had some injuries like most teams do. It blows me away when a coach like Zach Taylor misses his quarterback for nine games and everybody wants him fired. And you know, that's – that makes no sense to me. Lamar Jackson's hurt most of the year. Everybody wants John Harbaugh to be gone. Even Dan Quinn had Jaden Daniels healthy for 4 years. They're talking about firing Cliff Kingsbury. Last year, they go to the NFC Championship game with a rookie quarterback. Cliff Kingsbury's going to be a head coach. It's funny the way these things work, and so many times they're wrong. But I think as long as Josh Allen is there, Superman, and he is, his team's more reliant on him than anybody, even though they got the rushing leader, first one since O.J. Simpson. They can run the ball. Their weaknesses are stopping the run, and they need another receiver, and they'll be right back up there as a Super Bowl favorite.
John, how do you view the Falcons right now? Just organization, the coaching job, the GM job, they're both open. How do you view them?
If you look at Terry Fontenot's number one picks, he's done a good job, but he's been there 5 years. He's got a losing record. There was a lot of speculation he was going to be out as general manager. And I thought Raheem Morris might keep his job. Now they're talking about bringing in Matt Ryan to run the show, and the coach and the general manager would answer to him. Well, why? How do they think Matt Ryan's going to be great at that? He's never done jack squat. You know, met the guy come in and work in personnel and work his way up to that. And he wants to stay on CBS. Let me tell you, if you're going to run an organization and you got him on their TV and they say, well, Matt, what do you think about the Falcons game? Are you going to get an honest opinion from him? Absolutely
not.
And I don't buy for an instant you can take a former player and put him in charge and just assume he's going to do a great job unless he's been there, like Dan Morgan was in the organization with Carolina. Now they've backed in the division championship. But I think the Falcons is a really good job as far as talent, the stadium, the city. They're in cap problems again. That's one thing Terry Fontenot did. He got them back in cap hell. They were in cap hell because of Ryan's contract. Then they got out of it. Now they're back in it. And but that is a good place for a head coach to go in a bad division.
I'm going to say this to both of you, and I know the track record on GMs getting a second chance. I do think John Robinson could do a good job with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm throwing that out there. I think he deserves another shot. We'll see if he actually gets it.
I think John to be a GM again, he's got to work with the team and get – team's got to be successful and get some attention about what you're doing there. There's a lot of good personnel people out there that don't get much of attention. Like the other Kubiak, Klein Kubiak's been working in the personnel department for the Cowboys for years. And I think if he's with another team, his name would be mentioned for GM jobs, but there's nobody in the Cowboys personnel department gets any attention except one guy.
Right. Before we let you go, looks like, I guess this is it. Highmark Stadium, better known as Ralph Wilson Stadium, the Ralph closes. They'll have the new stadium next year. You covered the Bills and Oilers rivalry for a long time. You have any memories of going there?
Oh, yeah. I tweeted yesterday with all this nostalgia. I said, Highmark Stadium, it was not nice knowing you. 1-3-93. That was the biggest choke in NFL history. Now it's the biggest choke in playoff history. Lost 41-38 in overtime after leading 35-3 midway through the third quarter. And that's got to be the best thing that ever happened to that franchise in those 50 years. And those fans were incredible. I've tweeted so many tributes that I've seen they did. And those fans are great. And they think, oh, boy, we're going to be indoors. It's going to be warm, and we don't like it. We want weather bad. Once they get in there, they're going to go, my God, this is nice.
Well, I'll say this. They did something so subtle yesterday, but I thought it was the coolest thing and looked awesome, and that was they wore the red helmets, and I loved that.
I had a tribute with Marv Levy on the scoreboard. Marv's, I think, 91 now. And he did that thing that got, you know, everybody does up there about where would you rather be. And, of course, everybody went crazy. Great fans, great city. And you know what? With Josh Allen and a great running game, they're and I'm not just saying it because I picked them to be against Detroit. I'm not giving up on them in the Super Bowl because, to me, the AFC is wide open.
I would agree. John, thank you, sir. We will talk to you next week.
Jason, Joe, thank you guys very much, as always.
John McClain joining us, as he does every Monday at 2 o'clock. We'll react to some of that.